Good morning, everybody. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you pour out on your people. We thank you, Lord, for everything you provide. Lord, just open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Open heaven for us. Open your word for us. Touch our hearts and touch our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day. An elementary school science class had been studying magnets and how metal objects are attracted to them. At the end of the semester, the teacher put on the exam this question. Six letters. Starts with M. What am I? Oh, picks up things. What am I? Over half the children wrote, Mother. Yes, they were right. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Exodus 20, 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. What's it mean when God repeats himself? It's important. Pay attention. You should always pay attention anyway. Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Seems like he gives us the commandments, and then he takes us into the land that he promises us, right? That should tell us something, too. Honor thy father and thy mother. What does the word honor mean? It actually means to esteem at the highest level, or to add weight to. It comes from the biblical time when coins were weighed to determine their value. The heavier the coin, the greater its value. Honor works in the same way. The greater value we place on God, people, and things, the greater their weight or their influence in our life. By honoring, we deeply value and respect the object of our honor, and elevate it to a place of influence. It's important to us, isn't it? What is the most important vocation? In God's eyes, there's no vocation higher than that of a parent. Think about it. Is the vocation of a teacher more important than a parent? Why do teachers exist? To assist parents in teaching their children. The teacher serves the parent. What about doctors? Who does the doctor serve? Families. Doctors exist to serve the parent. What about the governor, the senator, the president? They're pretty important, aren't they? Romans 13:3-4 says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. For he is the minister of God to thee for good." In other words, government exists to protect and defend families. Government exists to serve parents. There's no vocation higher than a parent. Martin Luther explains the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, with these words. God has given this walk of life, fatherhood and motherhood, a special position of honor, higher than that of any walk of life under it. He distinguishes father and mother above all other persons on earth and places them next to himself. Leviticus 19:3. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. You shall fear every man his mother and his father. Fear. What does fear mean? Does that mean be afraid of? Strong's number 3372 says it means reverential trust. It's the same word used when it says fear the Lord. The same fear, reverential trust. You shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. There's something very unusual about this verse. Israel was a male-oriented society, but yet which is listed first in this verse? The mother. Let's go back to the classroom for a minute. Teacher, math question, state your answer as a fraction. If there's 10 at the table and one apple pie, how much does each one get? A student yells out 1/9. The teacher says, you don't know fractions. The student says, you don't know my mother. If there's that many people at the table and only one pie, she don't want none. When I was a child, bigger child, back in New Brunswick, Canada, we lived in where we lived was Upper Mills, New Brunswick, Canada. So you can tell that's probably pretty rural, right? It was. I think our zip code was EIEIO. But we raised a lot of crops. We had a garden. We had a cow. We had our own milk. My mother churned cheese. Turned butter and made cheese. And we also raised chickens. We had usually every year hundreds of chickens, sometimes as many as 1,000. So guess what we ate a lot of? Chicken. I like chicken. My mother would cook the chicken and she'd set it down on the table in front of everybody and she would say, I want the neck. Now really, who wants the neck? Oh, I like to pick at it. No, what she's saying is, help yourself to whatever piece you want. I'll take the neck. Because I want you to be happy. I want you to have it. That's a mother. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not giving to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Older women are supposed to instruct younger women. But they also instruct the younger males, too, don't they? They are our first teachers. Our opening scripture today was 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 7. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read verse 5. He's talking to Timothy. And Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned which means real, which means sincere, which means nothing artificial, pure, honest, just what it is. The unfeigned, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. He saw something in Timothy that existed before Timothy was in Timothy's mother and grandmother. This is the only place in the Bible that the word grandmother is found. This is the only place in the Bible that grand anything is found. Just this one place. What we see here is we see a family tradition. We see something that's passed on, characteristics that's passed down from mother to another, to daughter, and then to the son. There's a pattern, isn't there? Anybody here have a praying mother? I know we have a lot of praying mothers here. I am firmly convinced that I would not be here if it weren't for a praying mother. That's the only thing. That's the only reason I'm here. I know that. Because God hears the prayers of praying mothers. My mother was an imperfect human being. But my mother was a woman of prayer. Every night on her knees beside her bed, praying for her family, praying for her children, praying for me. Faithfully, every night. My mother was a mother, was a woman of the Word. She loved her Bible. She read her Bible. In fact, I can't remember her reading anything else. Maybe she might pick up a magazine once in a while, but I don't really remember her doing that. But I remember her reading her Bible. I remember what her Bible looked like. It was well used. She liked the 91st Psalm. That was her favorite. But most of all, the thing that impacted me the most was my mother was a woman of faith. It was part of her existence. It was who she was. When we moved to the United States, we moved to Los Angeles and then Orange County. And things didn't go very well for my family. A lot of dreams that my father had, that just didn't happen. It seemed like our house went into foreclosure every year. There was always someone knocking on the door and they weren't bringing good news. But yet I remember my mother always saying, God will provide. That stuck with me all my life. That's been something that I've been able to hang on to. Why? Because my mother was a woman of faith. That little bit of faith brought me through an awful lot of bad times. Many self-created, but God will provide. Ephesians 6:2 says, honor thy father and mother. How? How do we honor our father and our mother? How do we honor our mother? According to the concordance, there's a lot of words associated with honor, and I'm going to read every one of them. Anybody expecting a phone call? Words associated with honor: favor, magnify, glory, magnificence, ornament, splendor, wealth, costliness, dignity, brilliance, revere, esteem, nobility, value, respect, lift up, consider precious. To place incredible value on something or on someone. Place incredible value on. See, what's in the heart will manifest itself in our actions, won't it? And if we have honor for our mother and honor for the things that we should have honor for in our hearts, then it's going to show through everything we do. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and as usual, they weren't exactly pleasing him. But he talked about their disobeying the commandments. Now, you'd think they would know everything about the commandments. But yet, they used the commandments, and they basically had their opinions about how they should follow things. There's a word that he uses or mentions. It's korban. It means gift. He's talking about how the Pharisees will tell their parents, their mother and their father, that, oh, that money that you need, or that money maybe that I owe you, I've given it to the church in your name. Because they want to be holy, but they want to appear holy. What should they have done instead? They should honor their father and their mother. How does this compare with how Jesus acted? We see the answer to that in John chapter 19, verses 25 and 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, talking about John, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. He honored his mother. At the point of death, death on the cross, he thought of her and what her future was going to be. Does the commandment to honor her cease to be in effect when she passes away? My mother passed away almost 30 years ago. Am I still required to honor her? You better believe it. It says, honor her. It continues. It doesn't say, till death do you part. It says, honor her. You honor her memory. You follow her teaching. Her example. If she was a bad example, you learn from it. You do the opposite. But you continue to honor her because good or bad, you've learned life's lessons from her. Honor also means doing those things that she would approve of. Some might say she wasn't honorable. But the Bible says nothing about that qualification, does it? In fact, the only qualification it mentions is that she's your mother. That's it. Maybe it has a lot to do with our attitude, which contributes to our well-being. You know, it will be well with you. Our attitude, how we react, what we choose to do, who we choose to be, we honor her. You may not have had the best of mothers. Honor her anyway. She gave life to you. Ariel here. okay.
I had a special song I was going to sing for you, and I was hoping that I could do it here on my with some music here, but it looks like it's not going to work. Because I can't find it. Well, I guess I'll just have to sing it a cappella. Alright. It's called Find Us Faithful. And it's one of my mother's favorite songs. So just listen to the words. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
May all who come behind us find us faithful. May we be an example. Just as my mother was to me. Took me a while to figure some things out. Things got interesting. Anyway, we have some mothers here today, don't we? We have some flowers over here. So we're going to ask every mother to come forward and just pick out a flower. In fact, how many do we have? I think you could probably take two. And I want to include, since they've spent a lifetime teaching children, I want to include Nariel and Shamar, too. Because they've taught some children some things that they wouldn't have been taught. So we want to honor them, too. Okay, I'm going to close in prayer. And then everybody can come forward and get a flower. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for mothers. Lord, the saying is that God couldn't be anywhere, so he created mothers. Well, we know that's not true because you can. But Lord, through mothers, you show us a special aspect of you. Because mothers are also created in your image. They nourish and they teach and they instruct. Lord, I just pray that you'd just bless each heart here today, Lord. Bless each mother. Place joy in their hearts as their actions have placed joy in your hearts. Lord, bless us and keep us safe and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming.